Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Nothing But Respect podcast. I'm OC and today I'm joined by Hunter, Bruce and once again by the technical advisor, John Reid.
Hi, I'm honoured to be here.
Since we were last on air, Celtic disposed of Aberdeen on Saturday with a 3-1 victory. So just going to see what the boys made of it. So I'll start with a big fan of Aberdeen this season. I was really worried about our title challenge. John Reid, what did you make of the Aberdeen game?
Predictable, as I said on Twitter. We were always going to beat them. I thought we played no bad. We did not. It was like a copy of the game for last season. We played no bad to start with. Aberdeen missed a sitter. Then we score before half time and that's the game finished. One of the last times I was on the podcast was when that was just after Aberdeen beat us. And since then, they've only won one league game. So I don't think they really took them seriously. I thought we played all right. The first goal was a good goal. Tierney did well, and it was a good header by Lee convicted Griffiths. That useless James Forrest done well for his goal. Bad defender, but in that challenge where that Aberdeen defender was hilarious. Wonder why he done that. Wonder if he's estranged with the manager for some reason. Allegedly, of course. Aye. I just turned out like I thought. I was just surprised that we didn't win like 4 or 5-1 or 4 or 5-0 and no 3-0. But as I was discussing with an Aberdeen fan the other day, the them losing 3-1 is actually not a terrible result because I thought it would be 4 or 5 and it was only 3. So well done, Aberdeen.
So it's almost like they won.
It's almost like they won. They're back to being daddies as usual, and we're actually seemingly get more of a challenge for the team that won the championship last season, which is weird. I thought we played all right, turned out like I thought it would, and all eyes turn to Thursday, which is a much bigger game.
Hunter, what did you make of Aberdeen?
I never seen it because I was on the bus to Falkirk. I said last week on the pod I thought we would probably win 3-0, so had it not been an offside goal, I would have been correct. It was good to get the win. I did think we would win anyway, so it wasn't a major surprise. Aberdeen are on a horrible run of form at the moment, but nothing seems to be said about it. First goal, like John said, first goal was very good. Tierney put in a really good ball for it, and Griffiths was up brilliantly. He's been very good this season. Second goal, the penalty, very good penalty, took it well. Keeper went the right way, but he was never going to save it. The tackle was totally inexplicable. Can't begin to think what's going through Boyer's head when he does that, and 2-0, it was game over. Third goal, Forrest, it was a good run by Rogic, and Forrest did really well for it. As I say, the Aberdeen goal should have been chopped off because it was offside. I'm getting in contact with referees about that.
I thought it was a really, really good game of football. Especially first half, I thought Celtic were always kind of looking more likely, but Aberdeen had their moments, and I thought it was a good game the first 45 minutes. I thought we were end to end at times, and Aberdeen were playing better than their form suggests. But I think John's right, when Celtic get themselves in front, there was only ever going to be one winner. And the tackle for the penalty was just hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. Sitting in the house watching it, and Christ, I don't know why I was laughing because obviously it hurt the comments, but it was a terrible tackle. But and then obviously we just wanted to kind of ease our way through, and as Hunter said, their goal was offside and stopped us from getting a clean sheet. But I thought it was a good performance by Celtic, and they responded to the Dyla's comments the day before, and just hope it counts for something on Thursday, you know what I mean? Because it would just be typical Celtic to throw it all away.
Aye, I agree. Especially that first half, we played excellent with us. The amount of combos we had was unbelievable as well, which just showed how dominant we were. My only worry was that Rooney seemed to get in behind our centre-backs quite a lot, which was worrying. It was as if they weren't there at times. But Aberdeen, they're like getting that first goal just before half-time, really settled the team. And aye, great ball by Tierney. Well, can't remember the last time. Oh. Any time I've ever seen Izaguirre put a pinpoint ball, that excellent. It was just superb. Second half again, I just kept going. Moving back to the first half, actually, I thought the boy Shinny was lucky to stay on the pitch. I thought it was a terrible tackle.
I agree with that.
Because he was off the ground with studs up, and then he broke all that, but then he done the boy on the touchline as well, which I don't know. But
I don't think it was too much in that. I think Tierney made the best of that one. I think Tierney anticipated more contact than actually was at the time. I thought Colm was going to get back in centre half, but when I seen it again, you can understand how he didn't, even though we all know Billy Colm was a good kid.
Aye, second half, Forrest did take his goal well, he was composed for once. That was good to see. But aye, like you say, the goal should have been disallowed, but not much you can do about that. Then we probably should have been a bit further ahead. Armstrong was unlucky, he got a few goals. I can't believe that if you listen to episodes a month ago, some of us were actually talking about the fact that Aberdeen might be a challenge when you look at where they are now, and like from this point last month, we overturned our lead and turned it on its head, really. But I reckon it was good to see, because I was a bit worried when I'd seen Dial's comments, although I 100% agreed with him. I was a bit worried because of it. Obviously, that time Collins came out and slated the SPL. You see what happened at Kilmarnock, so slightly worried, but it was good that the team came out and gave a performance that was expected of them.
Just on that thing about the goal Aberdeen scored, It happened in the first half and all when Rooney was offside, and people were like even the commentators were like, that's a huge let off for Celtic, and oh, Celtic have lost another goal for a set piece, and I think Celtic, and it was the same in the Hearts game on Wednesday night. I think Celtic are genuinely the only team that defence could criticise for catching people offside. It's like Neil McCann was getting torn into after the goal, and you're like, it was a consolation at the end, but then obviously we did lose goals for corners and set pieces and that, but you know, when the guy's offside, it's a wee bit understandable. That's just something that annoyed me.
Anybody else getting tired about Aberdeen?
They're just what we all thought they would be. Except last year they took the quote unquote title race to February, and this year it's finished in the 31st of October. And Dan McInnes has done a pretty crappy job, and he does deserve slagged, just like other managers that lose big games deserve slagged.
He hasn't been getting slagged though.
Well, Gregor Kyle did slag him the day.
I saw that, aye.
Or yesterday, whenever I saw it the day. Well, he does deserve slagged. But then I don't aim to take Aberdeen's challenge seriously. Apart from the Aberdeen fans we know on Twitter who seem to think they were brilliant after 8 games when they knew they weren't.
Aye.
Can I say something about Delia's press conference? I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. It was going on, it was deliberate, in fact, I'm surprised he never done it after the Mould game, depending if we lose or no. That'd be a good one to distract the fans. He was going on about how everybody has a go at Celtic. Well, that's what wee team fans do. They have a go at the big teams. They hate the big teams. All the wee teams in the leagues and every other league hate the big teams. I don't know why he's going on about that. He went on about how he didn't care about Rangers, i.e. talking about Rangers, so it proved him to be a bandpot like the rest of the idiots that talk about Rangers all the time. Not like you three, of course, or MD Associates with this wonderful podcast. Nah, I thought it was just paranoid drivel. What people for Celtic don't understand, that we've won 97 domestic trophies. If there's a conspiracy and people out to get you, you don't win 97 domestic trophies like we have, and up could be 100 but in 7 months' time. So you should concentrate on being able to do a good job in Europe and not losing his millions. It's top of paranoid shite. Ran over.
Not lost those millions.
Of course not. Because that's not true, of course, because the rule is, if it's the papers about Celtic, it's a lie. And if it's about Rangers, especially financially, it's true. Of course he's not lost his millions. I mean, there's no problem at all. Like, there's no problem at all in us failing to qualify for the Champions League 2 years.
We're not saying that.
That's a problem. But you can't lose something you never had in the first place. We never had 40 million. We lost the chance of winning 40 million, I'll agree with that. And to be fair, I was on his case after the Champions League as well, but the culpability lies with the players as well for the Champions League.
He's had far more leeway than other managers we've had.
Hasn't he though?
He has.
Just one domestic game this season, and there's people wanting him against
what
that.
They do. Our season's defined in August. Well, what happens in the Champions League? And he's blew it again. And if we lose on Thursday, you may as well just resign now rather than the end of the season. He's a chance to lose yet more money.
Do you know why you're hanging about the leeway is a lot of rubbish? Because we beat Malmo 3-2 at Parkhead, and people were coming out of that game as if we'd get beat 6-0.
Yeah, because they gave away a suicidal away goal.
That's so dialogue, what you can't fucking...
Under Neil Lennon, that would never have happened. It would have been seen as a good result, and the inevitable collapse earlier, which happened many times under different managers, would have been blamed on the players. Tyra gets no more leeway than any Celtic manager. He gets less, even.
Rubbish.
I mean, the guy's...
That's balls.
The guy's lost one domestic game this year.
We've got no competition, for God's sake.
That's not through any fault of Celtic's.
I know it's because Rangers are idiots. The bottom line is, Dyla is to do well in Europe, and he's failed miserably where it counts in the Champions League. But because he does a wee roar, and we steamroll teams in the Premier League, he's seen as some sort of great hero. I've not liked him for the start, and I think he's a poor manager, and I think I've already said he'll not be here next season, and I hope that's the case, and maybe we'll qualify for the Champions League for once.
I've got my doubts whether he'll be there next year, but to me, I think his comments the other day, and which wasn't a rant, he didn't lose the plot, which David Tanner suggested they did, and him and Andy Walker should be ashamed of themselves, by the way, for the way they went on Saturday. It was a calm and considered speech, if you want to call it a speech. He answered a question. He mentioned Rangers, but he mentioned them because he's been getting asked about them ever since he took the job. And what he said was right. You know, Celtic drawing at each home to Hearts is closer to his job. Celtic get beat off teams. Celtic draw with teams like Fenerbahce and Ajax, who are considered above Celtic. But Rangers get beat off St Johnstone, and you read about how it's the best thing that could ever happen to them. And it's a good thing for them. So you're playing in the media zones. They big up Rangers as if they're still some sort of massive club. But when they get beat, like Aberdeen, people are saying Aberdeen are not getting slagged because, that's what they expected to be. But 5-6 weeks ago, they were this great team that we're going to challenge Celtic to win the league.
Hold on a minute. The only people that have said Rangers and Aberdeen were any good are stupid Rangers and Aberdeen fans on Twitter. Just like the only people that say Celtic are any good are idiotic Celtic fans. Well, we beat Aberdeen 3-1, and all of a sudden we're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Plus,
it's not just and people on Twitter. The press have been building the two teams up all season.
Aye.
Oh, who cares about the press these days?
Your boys go about
the press all the time. The press only a factor these days.
Plus in the press.
Played into the horns all day with that ridiculous rant. What? And if we lose on Thursday, which it's I fear we will.
It wasn't even a rant. The only rant has been
finished. He was very calm.
He was very calm and considered. What he said was 100% spot on.
Paranoid drivel.
But we have fans on his side. The same fans.
There's very few sane fans. Listen, about five of them. Nothing but respect for the aye.
Listen, in July, right, the comments about John Collins made, right, Dyer has been held up responsible for the comments. People are using the comments to attack Dyer, whereas after Aberdeen beat Raikia, Derek McKinnon said, Raikia the best team his team will face all year. Nothing in Scotland will come close to that. But everybody seems to have forgot about his comments, despite the fact that St Johnstone took five after them. There is a clear difference. Obviously, Celtic are a bigger club than Aberdeen, infinitely and always will be. So obviously, pressure on the manager is different. But we're getting fed this to believe that Aberdeen are right behind us, and next year when Rangers come up, they'll be right behind us.
But one of the things is true.
As soon as the teams get beat, it's like, they're not really ready. It's the exact same. They get built up. Same. It's spot on. But before we played them in the League Cup semi-final last year, it was all about this, how I think a typical Old Firm game will ensure it'll be a close game. Celtic 1-2, you're on 22, and then after the game all you read for the next week was the standard between the teams isn't that much if it was only 2-0.
I don't think that's true. I think people went on about how the standard was huge between Celtic and Rangers.
No, all you read was people saying for the Rangers, or the Rangers team, ain't every single one of the Rangers team had done.
Rangers, MD associated with Rangers is an idea. Let's get
facts
straight here.
Paper that week, and then when they get built up and built up after McCall came in, they didn't get promoted, and it was that's a good thing. It's a good thing they didn't get promoted.
Wasn't it good for Peter Loggall's bank? But anyway,
when anything happens to Celtic, it's World War III, and he was completely spot on in what he said. And it wasn't a rant, it wasn't trying to deflect blame for anything on anybody. He's fully aware of his shortcomings in Europe so far, and he doesn't get excused for Malmo. People just think this whole, he does a role and that's alright, it's a lot of rubbish. There's nothing up with a manager having a better relationship with fans, and that's what Dyer has got, and people don't like it. People are sickened by the fact that a Celtic manager actually gets on with a portion of the fans, and to be honest, his rant, if you want to call it a rant, it should have came about 5 or 6 months ago.
So uninterested in Rangers, he went to see them on Sunday. Makes you think, should have tweeted that? Are they right now?
But Alex McLeish was talking about Celtic.
He's an ex-Aberdeen player, so it's all out.
He's that interested in Rangers, he didn't even know who Alex McLeish was.
Ronnie Dyer was at the Rangers and Hibs game to watch Liam Henderson. Unfortunately, didn't he play? And he got tickets as part of the Scott Allen deal.
I've got nothing else to say about that rant, so we can talk about whatever you want now.
Right, we'll move on to Thursday. Celtic v Molde in match day 4 of our Europa League. Obviously, Celtic lost the corresponding tie in Molde. How do you see this one going? Do you agree with Chris Sutton's comments today that it's a must-win for Celtic? Start with Hunter.
Yes, I agree with Chris Sutton that it is a must-win. If we don't, we're out, and don't think it does Dial any good for us to drop out of the Europa League after only 4 games. It should be looking to qualify for this group, especially as the second seeds. I know we were dealt a kind of tough job with Ajax and Fenerbahce, but we should definitely be wanting to get out of this group. Molde, I wasn't particularly impressed with Molde when we played them away. I think we contributed a lot to our own downfall. Shameless plug there. But no, I think it is must win. I think we should win. I felt pretty confident until I remembered that they went over to Turkey and beat Fenerbahce 3-1 Turkey, so don't know. I think we should win, and I think we will win. I think we'll win by at least 2 goals.
John, what do you think about Thursday?
Well, Sutton's right. They have to win. I don't know what happened. I mean, you can't tell the Celtic team's any good or no, because we can only really judge them in Europe. and in Europe in the Europa League. Performances were okay-ish until the Molde away game, which was a joke. I'm not sure what'll happen. I think it'll probably be a draw because I still don't trust this defence, and if we get attacked, then I fear Molde might catch us on the break, and every time they have a corner, we'll probably flap like mad. I would hope we win, but I don't know. I think the best we'll get is a draw, and really, we could still qualify, but it makes things difficult.
Bruce?
I starting spot on. It's a must win, but it's not like it's obvious it's a must win. No, I mean, it's not like you're not putting any more pressure on anybody or the team by saying it's a must win. You know what I mean? It's like clearly a must win game if we want to stay in Europe, and I think we will win because I'd imagine that it'll be the same defence for the third game in a row, or well, maybe not the third game in a row because he played easy green Thursday night, but last Wednesday, sorry. But to have Lustig, Simonovic, Baya and Tierney at back would be a plus, with four players that are playing really well at the minute. And imagine, you know, whether Scott Brown's fit or not, I think it's irrelevant, maybe not irrelevant, but definitely Johansson and Rogic have played well the last couple of games, so they could fan. I think they'll win. I don't see any reason how they'll not win, unless they beat themselves, which is, we know with Celtic can always happen, but I wasn't overly impressed by Mulder. I think Celtic were just absolutely atrocious compared to Mulder having any good, but they've played well in the Europa League and they win, they're through, so they'll have something to play for. But I think Celtic will win, and I just hope Fenerbahce beat Ajax.
Well, you know the best if Fenerbahce and Ajax is a draw?
No.
If Fenerbahce won and God forbid Mulder won, would that not be just about finished?
Aye, but I mean if we won and Fenerbahce won, it means we beat Ajax and we're through.
Ah, right.
But unless Mold beat Ajax in the last game.
Aye.
No, I think it's, like you say, something that's quite obvious. It is a must win. I think we will win, but I don't think it'll be pretty. I think it might be like a 1-0, and it'll probably be Chris Collins that scores for redemption. I don't know, my only worry about Mold is that I think it'll suit them the way we'll play. We'll have plenty of the ball. But even though they're top of the group, I still feel like they're obviously playing with, like they've got nothing to lose, so I don't know. I think it'll be tight, but as long as we get a win, I think that's the most important thing. So I think it'll be a tetchy 1-0, and then we'll just see how the result goes. And I'm still done with the other. I'll take a prediction for Moldova for each of these, Hunter.
3-0.
John?
1 each.
Bruce?
I think it'll be 2-0. I think Griffiths will get 2. I think Moldova freeze. Cup run is over.
Moving on, one bit of good news that did come out of Celtic Park this week was that Neil Beaton has extended his contract to the summer of 2020. I think he'll obviously be happy, but I think it's a great move for Celtic. What did you make it? I'll start with Bruce.
It's the greatest contract signing in the Middle East since Moses penned the Ten Commandments. Stunning, stunning, stunning bit of business for Celtic. Obviously, in today's day and age, it barks, oh, Southampton will just need to pay an extra $5 million, but it's great. We tie up the best football player that Scotland's seen in 10 years. Undeniably, the best football player Scotland's seen in the last 10 years. Tie him down for an extra 4 or 5.
Better than Nakamura.
Well, Nakamura, he is.
He's a break.
No, he isn't. But Nakamura signed 10 years ago, so Beaton will go on to have a better career than Nakamura. I think he's far and away the best football player in Scotland at the minute. He'll go on and be a great player elsewhere, undeniably, in the future. And I'm just very, very happy that he's signed a new contract.
John, you happy with the news?
Well, I'm happy because he's a good player, and we can sell him in August if we don't qualify for the Champions League. Ho, ho, ho. He's a good player. He didn't really have a good start to his career, but he's got better and better. I'm pity that he's a big fan of fascists, but he did say that Rangers would be up next season would be a good thing, so nothing but respect to you for that, Neil. But aye,
well, so that's as many easy games as possible.
He'll stay next season anyway for the white hot Old Firm derby. Then he'll leave. Well, if he keeps up this form, we will probably get like $10 million for him.
I think he'll go for the Mest.
No, he's not done anything really in Europe.
He's playing really well in Europe. He's probably the only Celtic player that gets any credit in Europe this year.
Chris Coleman's, I would say as well.
Chris Coleman
is rant. He's played a role in all 5 goals. But I know I do take what you say there, Bruce. I think he has been one of the only players that takes a bit of credit out of performances in Europe.
It's good because we'll end up getting good money for them, which unfortunately is the only reason people really play for sale these days. So we can sell them off for big money. Unless you're somebody like Coleman's or Griffiths, who sort of damaged goods, especially Griffiths. Oh no, I'm sure somebody will buy him. Clue-clutch client AFC or something.
Don't know if Rangers can afford.
Sorry, Lee, if you're listening. You've done great this season. But, it's a good bit of news for once, related to Celtic. So, good job, Peter Lowell. And next year, when Beaton dominates Rangers, he'll be worth even more. So, Well done, all involved at Celtic.
Hunter, are you happy with it?
Absolutely. I think he is the best player at Celtic at the moment, bar none. I think he's a total class act. It really annoys me because I've really liked him since he signed. And I don't want to be one of those, oh, I've always liked him, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to be. You know, I think he's a fantastic player. Like you say, he's probably going to be the next one to go for big money. But judging by the comments he made in the press conference today, it's not something he's looking at. Seems to be enjoying his football, and long may it continue, because we've got a great player there.
Lest we forget, he was the beacon of hope at the end of the dark tunnel that was Charlie McGrew in midfield. So, God bless you, Neil.
That's a great point, to be fair.
No, I agree. I've seen his comments as well, and I don't know if he is just that. A season and a half left before we're there. I reckon I'd love to see us just build a team around him because he's an absolutely he's a stunning player. Like he's just I think he might go for the most. I reckon he could get close to 15, but that probably depends on us getting into the Champions League and him playing well. But I know it's I love Wanyama, but I think Beaton's a far better midfielder, and I reckon like Bruce says, he'll only have a great career if he does leave.
Sorry, but he's not on a level with Wanyama yet. Wanyama dominated Barcelona. Come on, let's be real here.
But Beaton can at least pass a ball and hit a shot.
I seem to recall that Wanyama scored against Barcelona.
A header.
It doesn't matter. He dominated that great team. Beaton's dominated biddy teams, and he's a good player for us, and I like him. But let's have a bit of perspective here. I know that's not easy. And stop believing what he's saying in press conferences, you numpties. I mean, come on.
No, I don't read.
Are you so soft in the evening?
I don't read the comments, but it still takes a bit of effort to sign a 5-year contract.
Yeah, probably because he knows that as soon as we got offered 11 million plus, he'll be away. But I like him, he's a good player, but let's be real here, guys, come on. He's sounding as deluded as Duncan Fulton on you and the Tory.
So, on this day in 2011, Celtic were in the midst of another Europa League campaign, and on this day we played French team Rennes. At home, we won 3-1 goals from Anthony Stokes, 2 from Anthony Stokes, 1 from Gary Hooper. What are your memories of the game? Start with you, OC.
I was there. The stadium was quick. I think it was only about half full. If you were lucky, I think it was actually about 20,000, 25,000. It was a 6 o'clock kickoff. It was one of the few times that Stokes actually contributed very well. Follow this team, especially in Europe. I think it was one of the ones because we played them away first, didn't we? We got the draw in rounds, wasn't it?
Aye.
So we've got
after the farcical OG.
Aye, with the Chandouri home goal, and as much as I liked him, it was just the way that after. That's the two things I remember about Chandouri, actually, is that after that home goal and after red card at Ibrox, it's just his stupid daft fucking smile.
I never liked him, to be fair, so.
I didn't mind him, he was alright.
I thought he was a terrible player.
He wasn't very good at all.
No, back to the Rennes game. Aye, Stokes played well. It was one of the ones you wanted about because Rennes scored early, and you thought, here we go, because that season was just up and down until that point. They done well, pulled it back. Stokes' second goal was a cracker. And remember, Hooper's goal was a lovely 1-2 with Samaras, I think it was. No, it was good. I think it just started us on a good run of form as well, which was vital for that team, I feel. No, I don't know what anybody else has to say.
After we won that game, we won 17 league games in a row, and we actually played well in the games after that. We beat 1-0 off Atletico Madrid, and then we drew one each away to Udinese. We could have won that game.
Should have won it.
I think maybe the cheating referees might have denied us as ever.
Where I get denied this moment in Celtic folklore. Had a goal-bound shot with 2 minutes to go, and the Udinese player honoured it.
Right, we're always unlucky in Italy with referees. Bloody.
I wonder why.
It was a good win. Anthony Stokes, as we said, off-pod, the only goals he's ever scored for us in Europe. I'm embarrassed to admit, I did think he was a good player once upon a time. That season he was good when he teamed up with Hooper. In fact, the season before. Him and Hooper were really good together for a while. But Stokes has just fell out the game completely. Probably because he's worried about going to jail. But I did like him briefly, Stokes, and he did play a part that season in turning the season round at Kilmarnock when Lennon was going to leave off time. So he says, that game was 4 years ago today, and Stokes has never scored another Champions League goal, a European goal for us, although he did once hit the bar on the San Siro, and I think that's the only other thing he's done for us in Europe, unless anything else.
He hit the bar against Carragandy at 2-0, and it was an absolute sitter.
That's right, I remember that now, so he did, it was easier to score.
I think he redeemed himself that night with his assist for Forest for a third though.
when the Carrigandy players could barely stand.
Oh, so he's had one assist in 4 years since, and I know it was an important assist, but, and I think, I don't know if he'll ever play for Celtic again, really. I don't know how long his contract's got, but he's, like, been in the picture completely.
He signed a 3-year deal in 2013.
Oh, so his contract runs out?
This summer.
This summer? It wouldn't surprise me if he left in January then.
He found it for himself, see, last season. He worked hard and he was getting in by those team, and then the weekend in a Milan game, he turned up 2 days later for Leeds when he went to Ireland, and then he came back late, and I think that just was the end for him.
He was probably in a drunk tank, though, to be fair.
I agree, I think he's done.
Aye, we'll always remember that he was a Celtic player that went to jail for beating up a guy dressed as Elvis. And he never ever played against Rangers, apart from two times. The one time he started and could have got sent off after 30 seconds for a mental challenge. Second time he got took off when Chad O'Ree got sent off. He got took off after...
He won the penalty at
Ibrox. He won the 0-0 game.
Of course. He didn't start that game.
Did he not start the 4-2 game? No.
No,
he started with 3-1. That was a game at Parkhead.
Right, that was. I think that was the only game he started.
No, it started the 3-2-1 as well.
It started 3-2-1
when we could have won the league.
He missed a sitter.
Right, because McGregor made a brilliant save for him in that game, didn't he?
No, it was Samaras.
It's McGregor made the save for Samaras, and the ball deflected back to Stokes, and he volleyed it.
Oh, was the one? There was one. There was another one. Stokes had a volley from the edge of the box.
No, that was Samaras, I think.
Samaras beat about 9 men. Then kind of hit the ball with McGregor, and the ball felt his toes in the ball when the ball went into the ground out of the bar.
He did win that penalty as well, I forgot.
I've never seen that game, so I don't know.
What game?
The 3-2 game, I've never seen it.
Alright, well, I was the only was crap. Farewell Anthony Stokes, we can use that when he does leave, when we mark it in the pod. Farewell Anthony Stokes, you're now in jail.
You always have bread to get you through the night.
You were a right good Tim.
Aye. My memories of that game, it was just a continuation of kind of seeing Lennon team grow in Europe, but they were absolutely...
Did we not draw 0-0?
We drew it. With Hibs.
With Hibs, just after just, it, aye.
No. It was before it.
Motherwell after it, which sparked the kind of winning run.
Aye. That was ended by John's friends in the north.
Aberdeen? Oh, it was a draw, that's right.
Aye, Andre Blackman.
Aye, that's right, Andre Blackman scored an OG. Thought he scored in that game, in fact, there you go.
Coleman set him up, I think. Aye, he did.
Ben Lennon went on a rant and a shock turn of events. I think it was about Craig Bowley.
Aye, because Burnley, aye, but it was something also, Celtic's hotel room get firearm put off or something at 3 in the morning. He said that was like the fourth time at the time.
Neil was probably out in a car park at 3 in the morning, though. Allegedly. It started off terrible, and then it somehow turned out like a sort of galvanised the team into a pretty incredible run that nobody saw coming.
The thing about it was that what I think some people get frustrated with at the moment with Dyla is you could actually see Lennon's team growing in Europe at that point. You could see them learning their lessons and getting better as each game went on. It kind of culminated in the Udinese game away where we were very unlucky not to win. But it did kind of spark that winning run and kind of propelled us to the league that year.
I'm just looking at the table. We only won one game as well, and we still could have qualified if we'd won the Udinese.
We were unlucky against the Udinese at home because we dominated them, and then they got a very suspect penalty with 5 minutes to go.
Very suspect indeed. It was never a penalty.
Atletico Madrid away, we were wrong. Well,
can I remember the Atletico home game?
I was at that game. It was like a storm in Glasgow all day, and then went to Parkhead. The boy Samaras ran riot in the first half, absolute domination, and then Celtic played alright in the second half. But Atletico Madrid always had a kind of sense of control about them, but I think Rennes and Udinese drew or something, which meant Celtic could actually go through if they beat Udinese, which we very nearly did.
As Hunter was saying, that sort of team in Europe did get better, and this current team sort of stagnating in Europe for what we see so far. I don't know, maybe Mo was a one off.
Well, what you need to remember is that was Lennon's second season in Europe, and he'd also been knocked out of Europe and then progressed on an administration error. So,
and I think as well, Lennon didn't have to deal with his team being ripped up, losing his best, arguably two of his best players. I mean, Dyla's lost Denier and Van Dijk. Lennon had a settled team. which it built over the first season.
I agree with Van Dijk, but De Nair really wasn't your players. They should have been looking for... Like, I know De Nair was a great player and that, right? But he should have been signed as an emergency. And what I mean by that is they should... Like, we had basically all year to replace him. I don't think they intended De Nair to be the first choice centre-half, and it was just that good that he had to be.
They had all year to replace Van Dijk as well, and they never, so...
They brought in Boyata and Jozo,
so the two of them have been replaced.
Obviously.
I agree, but I just don't think that... I think it's kind of...
They knew Van Dijk wanted to leave for a year before, so they should have sold him at the end. They should have sold him in July, the end of May, as I said, I think, before.
What if they'd have sold him out of the Champions League? You'd be on here.
That's what happened anyway.
How bad the decision was to let Van Dijk go.
They wanted to leave for a whole year before. They took the huff up at Dundee when they play.
When?
When we drew
when
one
we
each.
When we drew one each.
When they play, he took the huff.
Oh, did he? I can't believe that.
And they said that it was because his bird was pregnant or something. But it took the huff because we were in the sale when the transfer window ran out.
No, did they reference that and say that his head wasn't right for the game?
That was the reason, of course. Football clubs never lie.
You're so fucking clear.
And they took the huff because we didn't sell, which was probably the right thing to do. But
and then he stayed and had a good year, just like everybody else did.
Apart from Europe. He was a diddy against the morning. I seen him get interviewed the other day, he was going on about how brilliant he is.
And he's playing very well, much to...
Yeah, he's playing very well, that's right.
A certain member of the podcast, Shigran.
Someone who's not here tonight, unfortunately. We all remember him.
Actually, I was in Dublin last week, in the homeland. And
why?
It's a long story.
I can't even went in Dublin.
As if I'd go to Dublin to see them. I only fly around the world to see them. I did see not one Celtic top when I was there, sadly. Which is, as an Irish club, I was disappointed. Didn't see a Celtic top anymore. Sad days. Although I did see a lot of Rebel song CDs.
You bought a lot of Rebel song CDs.
I knew them all already, didn't I? And they did have something called a Taste of Freedom Easter Rising cans. I don't know what that smelled like. Gunpowder.
You mean you've not lit it yet?
No, it's beside my collection of Yankee candles. No offence to the Irish brawls, of course. That's how I couldn't come on the pod against the Aberdeen preview. I was in Dublin. And Brother Nostromo did a fine job replacing me. Although they did talk about steelbooks too much.
But at least everybody knows how to maintain them.
And how to keep them clean.
See, you don't get that on. This is what Celtic does. This is why it's such a beautiful club.
No other football club podcast would devote a new hour talk to steelbooks.
Yeah, no, but that's just... You get advice. That's what being Celtic and coming together. And as Lee said 4 years ago, that's what being a tribe's all about.
I'll phone for New York at 7 in the morning when I'm watching the Celtics and Johnson game. I'll Skype in for an Irish bar.
Just to prove I have hacked him, you know.
I'll go to the Celtic Supports Club or whatever it is in New York. I see our new manager's first game.
How about is Tommy Wright leaving St. Johnston or something?
I think he'll be sacked when we fail to qualify for the next stage of the Europa League, of course.
I mean, it would never happen, but... No, but Dyla wouldn't get sacked if he finished bottom of that Europa League group. Not in December, anyway.
No, I know. I was being flippant.
I know you were. But should. I'm just digging you up.
But it should. In fact, somebody wrote a wonderful article. Where is it? It was on Tottenham Boys website. Yeah. I don't know if anybody saw it.
I seen you say that you agreed. I read the headline and I seen you say that you agreed with it, so that meant I was never ever going to.
Daniel Coe, semicolon. Ronnie Delia should be sacked if Celtic lose to Mould and Thursday. And there's some superb comments as well. Actually, somebody said Coe. Isn't that what crows do? Oh no, in fact here's one for Celtic Mad Fan, who I think is Twinter. Another joke of our journalist here. Can't keep letting draws like this continue. No wonder Celtic minded people don't buy a newspaper in this biased, bigoted country. Only country, by the way, where, W-E-R-E, IPOC shareholder and season book holder was put up to ref Celtic Safeco game. L-I-L, say no more. That was a bit confusing, but good on him anyway. Surely, he wasn't angry when he wrote that. But Daniel Coe should be the next guest.
Daniel Coe Jr.
Daniel Coe Jr.
Hey, I'll pass you over to the boys, he'll say that. Final words and goodbyes. So I'll start with Hunter.
Catch you later.
And Bruce.
All the very best to HMRC tomorrow. We're playing for you, lads. Good to see the underdog win, man, for a change. against the establishment, which we'll need to delete because by the time this gets out, the bins will be liquidated again. So, cheers for listening and thanks for all your comments and save Stannis, please don't go.
And John Reed.
Thanks for inviting us back. Do we not do the hilarious Twitter?
We're running out of people to kid on with us.
You've got to let a gimmick go before it gets
totally done. Before it lets you out.
Tell that to Charles Wright. But, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris_Jack89 and read my writing in the Evening Times and Sunday Herald. So, hail, hail, everybody.
That's not what Chris Jack says.
And you can follow the official podcast at Respect the Pod. And thanks for listening. Thanks for all your good comments about last week's episode. If you want Lee and Stromo back, just tweet us with your requests. And if you have any other guests that you feel would fit in with us, idiots, then put them forward as well.
Yeah, it's cheap though. I mean, I know we kidded on John Reed was an expensive date, but...
We paid for this.
Don't you mean John Numbers Reed? Because apparently when I came on the podcast, it's the most popular episode.
I just put your agent on next time, John.
Actually, get my protege, Chris Numbers McQueer, on the podcast. He'd be good.
He comes with a hefty fee, so we're just getting our Kickstarter set up.
To like Motherwell, Sagpot on a free contract, and then we can preview a Motherwell game.
Aye, because he tweets about Motherwell all the time for some reason.
Aye.
I think Martin Waghorn made him go into the back and take out like 50 pairs of trainers, and then decided, nah, mate, you're alright, I'll just go to Sports Direct.
Well, that's all for the show today, and if you've made it this far, we've got nothing but respect for you.
Nothing but love, bro. Hey,
cheers.